Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Yashoda Nantahana Jaya Vraja Jana Ranchana Jaya Yashoda Nantahana Jaya Vraja Jana Ranchana Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jnanam chanu yugam brute Arhi shitta swarupadrik ऋषि रूप धरा कर्मा योगं योगेश्वरूपदृक् ज्ञानं चानुयुगं ब्रूते हरिः चित्तस्वरूपदृक् ऋषिरूपदराकर्मा योगं योगेश्वरूपदृक् ज्ञानं चानुयुगं ब्रूते हरिः चित्तस्वरूपदृक् ऋषिरूपदराकर्मा योगं योगेश्वरूपदृक् ज्ञानं चानुयुगं ब्रूते चित्तस्वरूपदृक् ऋषिरूपदराकर्मा योगं योगेश्वरूपदृक् ज्ञानं चानुयुगं ब्रूते चित्तस्वरूपदृक् ज्ञानं चानुयुगं ब्रूते
ज्ञानम् ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज च एंड अनुयुगम अकॉर्डिंग टू द एज ब्रूते एक्सप्लेन्स अरिहि द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड चित्त स्वरूप दृक् अस्यूमिंग द फॉर्म ऑफ लिबरेटेड पर्सन्स लाइक Sanaka and Sanatana, Rishi Rupa Dharaha, assuming the form of great saintly persons like Yajnavalkya, Karma, Yogam, the mystic yoga system, Yogesha Rupa Drik. By assuming the form of a great yogi like Dattatreya, translation by Srila Prabhupada, in every yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, assumes the form of Siddhas, such as Sanaka, to preach transcendental knowledge. He assumes the form of great saintly personalities, such as Yajnavalkya, to teach the way of karma, and he assumes the form of great yogis such as Dattatreya to teach the system of mystic yoga. Purport: for the benefit of all human society, not only does the Lord assume the form of Manu as an incarnation to rule the universe properly, but he also assumes the form of a teacher, yogi, jnani, and so on, for the benefit of human society. The duty of human society, therefore, is to accept the path of action enunciated by the Supreme Lord. In the present age, the sum and substance of all Vedic knowledge is to be found in Bhagavad Gita, which is personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the same Supreme Godhead, assuming the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, expands the teachings of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is so kind and merciful to human society that he is always anxious to take the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead.
Om Ajnanatimurandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Tatati Shvapatantikam Ye Krishna Karuna Shindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanushute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupasya Krupa Shindupyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinataranam.
I think the purport itself is self-explanatory, so I think we can finish the class and maybe take questions. Just kidding. There are so many, like, you know, different points in this particular verse, but in the interest of time we will look at two major points. One is about the how anxious the Supreme Lord is to make sure that all of us are going to go back home, back to Godhead. Here we can see that, like, you know, the Lord not only is personally appearing in this world, but he is also appearing through various great saintly personalities. In essence, he is trying to provide, like as much assistance as possible. Like, he is, like, you know, like, so eager for us to go back home. He is sending, like, you know, like, so many different personalities. So that is, like one thing which is very like predominant in this particular verse, like how eager the Lord is to take all of us back home. And for this, he is, like, you know, undergoing so many different austerities. He is personally appearing, he is, like appearing as Srimad Bhagavatam, he is appearing as the holy name, and he is appearing through various great personalities, different sages and rishis and things like that. Because yesterday we, like, observed Thanksgiving. So one of the reasons, the main principle of Thanksgiving is that we are trying to express our gratitude. So if we know that we have such a master who is always very eager for us to go back to him, like how grateful we have to be to have like such a loving master. So that is like something all of us can like meditate on, like how grateful we have to be to have someone who is so loving as Krishna, because he is so eager for us to go back home, back to Godhead. So that is one of the like major point which I wanted to discuss. And another point is that like here we can see that the Lord is establishing various transcendental knowledges and preaching these knowledges through different saintly personalities. And each of these saintly personalities, they preached in a totally different way. It is not that everyone was saying the same thing. So obviously the ultimate truth is the same, but the way they explained the philosophy to others is very, very different. So if we look at the Vedic scriptures, there are so many different yogic principles. We have karma yoga, we have jnana yoga, we have ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga. Then actually it relates to the first point, how eager the Lord is to take us back home. Because each and every one of us are at different stages of our own devotional life. So the Lord is providing us with an opportunity so that we can go closer to Him. So that is another important point in this particular verse, that not all of us are at the same level. So that means we need to reach out to different people at using different methods, if you will. That's why even Lord Krishna, he has established so many different systems. He can just say that only thing you need to follow is bhakti yoga. Forget about everything else and just follow. He doesn't need to go through what is karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga and all those. But though he establishes that bhakti yoga is the supreme, but still he is not saying that, no one should follow anything else. So that is another thing, which is important to understand. Let's go through each one of them. The first one is about how eager the Lord is and how grateful the Lord is. Though he is very eager for us to go back, and because of that he tries to be grateful for even the smallest thing which we can do. For example, if someone is going to come and maybe donate $100 to Kishore Kishori, maybe from that person's perspective, this is something great. Wow, I donated $100. I am the greatest. There is no one in Chicago who is better than me in terms of giving out charity. If you look at from Kishore Kishore's perspective, what is that $100? It is nothing. But they are very grateful, because they accept not that $100, or another person might be coming and giving we have 1 cent. So someone is giving 1 cent. So they'll be equally grateful, because what they accept is the love. And money and other services and everything else we provide is nothing but the tools. But the main thing they are looking for is the love. So they are very, very grateful. For example, in the pastime of Putana, Though Putana was, like, you know, she came to kill Krishna, she had, like, you know, this malicious intent of killing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because she approached Krishna in the mood of a mother, he accepted that service. He did not look at, like, you know, everything other than that. He just accepted that, like, you know, like, whatever trace of love she had. And then what kind of reward he provided with Putana? She got the position of a mother in the spiritual world. Can you think of anyone else, like, you know, like, who can do that? Like, you know, like, how grateful the Lord might be feeling to provide the position of a mother to someone who came to kill him in the first place. Because that person has had a small trace of love, he accepted that. Then one might say that, oh, like, you know, that is Putana and she came in direct contact with Krishna. So, like, you know, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not coming in contact with Krishna. Putana, though she had all this malicious intent, but she came in direct contact with Lord Krishna. So it might be applicable to her, not to me. Like that we might think. But, like we are hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam and we are chanting the holy names, and all these are like providing us an opportunity with coming in direct contact with Lord Krishna. So that means, like, you know, we have the same kind of opportunity which is provided to us. The same kind of opportunity which is provided to us. When we have such a grateful master, then we have to be feeling that gratitude as well, which is going to be very, very important. Because the principle of gratitude is the one which is going to propel us to go closer to Krishna. If we just take a minute and think about all the austerities, like we might not be in a position to realize all these difficulties Lord Krishna is putting himself through to assist us. But we can relate to, like, you know, the kind of difficulties our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada went through. He went through, like, you know, 2 heart attacks, and he did not have any money. And in the earlier days, even his disciples, they did not even know, like, you know, like, who, like, you know, like, how to treat a spiritual master. He used to stand in line to go to bathroom along with his disciples. And he did not say that, I am the spiritual master, like, you know, like, I need to go to the bathroom first. He was just standing in line. Like, you know, like, we can see that, like, how much austerities, like, you know, he actually, like, went through. Even on his deathbed, he was dictating, like, you know, like, Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, so that we can get an opportunity to hear about Krishna, so that we can go back to Godhead. So we can see that, like, you know, in the lives of various devotees who are assisting us, like Srila Prabhupada and our own spiritual master, or other senior devotees who are, like, you know, helping us, like, you know, if we take a minute and think about what kind of austerities they are actually going through, then we will feel that gratitude. When we have the strong feeling of gratitude, that is going to propel us to, like, you know, like, go closer and closer to Krishna. Because recently we had Rath Yatra, so that is, like, you know, like, another like pastime which we can, like, meditate on, where the Lord is exhibiting, like, you know, his eagerness to give out the mercy to each and everyone. Because, like, one of the services like, you know, like I'm has to do during Rath Yatra is to make sure that, like, you know, the deities, they go back on the cart and they are, like, you know, like properly secured. And when we actually take the deities, like, it is very difficult to, like, you know, like describe. You don't know, like, how much of austerity is, like, you know, they go through. So we are taking the, like, you know, the lords, and then we are taking them through the back door, right next to the dumpster, and then we are tying them up with so many ropes so that they will not be, they will not, like, fall down when we are, like, pulling the cart and things like that. When we, like, you know, those devotees who are actually doing that particular service of tying, it is, like, you know, really, it will, like, you know, like, break your heart. Because you need to tie them up so tightly. You have to tie them up so tightly so that they will not be, like, moving around. But they undergo, like, all these austerities so that, like, you know, different people, they get an opportunity to take their darshan so that they can get some mercy. The reason, like, why I'm telling some of this is that many times we might think that it is very easy to read from the scriptures, so, like, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is taking different forms and to help us. We need to, like, you know, try to relate to whatever we can directly experience at this, like, you know, like, point in time. So we can see, like, you know, like, how, like, wonderful the deities are, like, you know, they undergo so many different austerities to reach out to different personalities. And even, like, you know, if you look at, like, you know, our deities, 24 hours a day, they are just standing. They are just standing. Why are they standing? Like, you know, like, they are so eager for us to receive the mercy. So they are, like, undergoing so much of austerities. And when we dress them and all those, we do so many things to them. But they, like, you know, take all these austerities so that even those who don't have any, like, you know, real love for them, they will be attracted to the way the deities are dressed, so that they can appreciate the deities and appreciate the devotees who dress the deities. Like that, they provide so many different opportunities by putting themselves in, like, you know, like, great difficulty. So when we think about, like, all this, and same thing with, like, you know, devotees who are helping us. Like, you know, like, earlier we discussed about how, like, you know, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, they go out on the cart and then we have to tie them up so tightly that, you know, they don't, like, fall down. So we can see even in, like, some of the devotees who are, like, assisting us. If you look at, like, you know, different sannyasis, different, like, great, like senior devotees, all of them, they travel so much. They travel so much, even when they are at a very old age with so many bodily discomforts, but still they, like, hop onto a flight and then, like, you know, wait in the airport for 5 hours or 6 hours or 10 hours or however long it takes so that they can give their association to devotees in the different parts of the world. Like, similar to, like, you know, like, we are tying Lord Jagannath with, like, you know, ropes and all those. Similarly, like, you know, they are also tying themselves with the seat belt in the flight. And, like, you know, like, if you look at all this, like, you know, various devotees, actually they go through different austerities because they are exhibiting the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we think about this, when we meditate about this, like, you know, like, if we do this every day, at least for a few minutes, like, you know, like, what kind of austerities the Lord is putting himself through, and the devotees who are assisting him, they are putting themselves through so that we can go closer to Krishna, then it is going to soften our heart. And if our heart is going to be softened, then we can, like, you know, like, easily progress in our spiritual life. So that is like one point. So the other point is that, as we discussed earlier, there are so many different yogic principles like karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and we have bhakti yoga. And the reason why the Lord is, like, you know, he had established all these different types of systems is to bring each and everyone closer to him. If I am going to go to a child who is in the first grade and going to teach him or her, like, you know, integral calculus and differential calculus, he is going to look at me like I am the craziest person in the world. Like, you know, what is he talking about? Because the child who is like very young will not be able to understand the integral calculus or differential calculus. For them, we need to tell like 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Then they might understand it after, like, you know, hearing about it so many times. So that is exactly the reason why we have so many different systems which are available. We cannot go and tell someone who is in the first grade about a very like high level principle, because they will not be able to understand. So Lord Krishna so mercifully established so many different systems, so that even those who are at a much lower stage, they can move closer to him. Like as they move closer and closer and closer to Krishna, eventually one day they will reach Krishna. So that is like another point. Because there are so many different systems available, and because we know that Bhakti Yoga is the highest, it doesn't mean that all other yogic principles, they don't have any place. If possible, obviously, like we need to preach to others so that they can take to Bhakti Yoga, so that they don't need to wait for millions and billions and trillions of lifetimes. They can immediately take up to Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we need to understand and appreciate the reason behind various systems. And we cannot undermine someone who is following sincerely karma yoga or jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga. We need to understand that, okay, this person is not at the stage where they can take up to bhakti yoga, but let me try to do something or other so that they might be somewhat more favorable to bhakti yoga. So if by preaching they cannot take up to it, we can just feed them some prasadam and leave them alone. Don't try to when someone is rebellious, we cannot try to tell that bhakti yoga is the highest and all those. Because what is going to happen? Now they are going to be committing offenses. They might be nicely practicing whatever yogic principle they are practicing, and they were not committing any offenses against devotees. Now in the disguise of preaching to someone about the glories of the holy name or about the glories of the devotional service, if you go and tell them that, you know, this is the highest, that is the highest, then they might be because most of them, they might have a lot of ego and pride and things like that, because they are practicing for so many years. Now someone is coming and telling that whatever you did is all nonsense, bogus, give up everything and practice bhakti yoga, then they will be very, very defensive. So we need to always make sure that whatever we do, either preaching or whatever is our action, is going to be done in such a way that it is going to bring someone closer to Krishna. If it is not going to bring someone closer to Krishna, we should not do that. Even if it is going to look like, even if it is going to feel like devotional service, we shouldn't do that. Because now we are taking away the opportunity of one living entity to reach Krishna. Because if they are going to commit offenses against the devotees, now we are destroying their, like, you know, the path to devotion. It is going to be much more difficult for them. So we need to be always, like very, very careful. And on the flip side, we also need to be very grateful that we are given this particular opportunity to practice devotional service. Because though there are so many different systems of knowledge is available, because of the mercy of our own spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, we are given access to this greatest gem of devotional service. I think we are going to have a retreat. The theme is pretty much the same, chanting of the holy name and practicing devotional service in the age of Kali. So we can see that how grateful we have to be given an opportunity to practice devotional service. Though there are so many different systems which glitters like anything, it is very, very easy to be attracted to flowery languages of the Vedas, and someone if someone chants different Vedic mantras in a particular meter, we'll be so much attracted. But irrespective of all these different things, we are given access to the devotional service. And even within devotional service, there are so many different angas of devotional service, different practices which we can practice. But in this age of Kali, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are given the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the highest. If we look at this, the yoga ladder and different kinds of yogic principles, devotional service is more if we are going through karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, all these are taking steps. We are taking steps to reach to, let's say, 108th building of, a floor of a building. Then it is going to take us a lot of time. And the main disadvantage of taking these other processes is that I might be so eager and enthusiastic to take steps, and I might be reaching the fourth floor. Now I will have doubt. Someone told me that if I reach 108th floor, my life is successful. I already reached four floors. I'm not seeing anything. No symptom of reaching perfection. So maybe whatever they told is not true. Let me go back. We will come down two steps and then we go through some miseries. Now we'll be maybe whatever they said is correct. Let me take few more steps. So we will go to fifth floor. Then we are coming back to third floor. Like that we have to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Because the mind is like a monkey. It is going to keep on jumping around. It is going to interpolate and extrapolate, and it will do whatever it has to do to distract us from reaching the goal. So that's why it is not, though one might say, if all these yogic principles are going to eventually lead to bhakti yoga, then what is, I don't need to practice bhakti yoga, eventually I will reach. Let me practice karma yoga. I don't mind waiting for millions of years. That is fine. In terms of, on the scale of eternity, what is million years? Nothing, right? Because we are eternal living entities. The millions of lifetimes or millions of years is nothing. So I am willing to wait. But that approach is not going to be a very good approach. So that's why Mahaprabhu, he has given us this elevator method. Because he knows that our mind is like a monkey. So if we are going to be given an opportunity, we will be jumping here and there. So he said, okay, just practice bhakti yoga. So we are just reaching the 108th floor without stopping. But not only that, with the mercy which is given by Mahaprabhu and all the acharyas, we are not just taking a regular elevator. It is the super fast elevator. Like, without our notice, we are going to be like reaching the top floor. As long as we are going to follow the practices which are prescribed by the acharyas, we will be reaching the destination. I think in one of the earlier Srimad Bhagavatam discussions, we discussed about one particular statement of Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction, where it was in like one of the purports, where he says that devotional service is so pure and so powerful. Once someone is going to get into devotional service, their success is going to be assured. Even if I want to come out of devotional service, I cannot. I can come out for a very short period of time, but eventually I am going to reach the destination, which is like becoming a pure devotee and understanding and realizing like our true nature, that we are part and parcel of Krishna and we have to serve Lord Krishna. So that is one thing we need to truly appreciate, how grateful we have to be given an opportunity to render devotional service, that too in the easiest possible manner. Just by chanting the Maha Mantra, we can go back home to Godhead. We don't need to do anything else. If you look at other yugas, all the practices which someone has to follow are very difficult. On Satyuga, you need to stand on one leg and meditate for 100,000 years to become perfect. And it is very difficult for me to sit here for half an hour or 45 minutes. I'm not even sitting. Anyways, I cannot sit on one leg. What to think of standing on one leg without eating, and there is no bathroom break, or there is no lunch break. These yogis, they are standing on one leg and meditating. And we are, no one is asking us to go through these kind of austerities. In this age, we are asked to just chant the holy name. How difficult it is. It is not difficult. Then one might think that, okay, this practice is not that difficult. Then maybe it is not the highest one. Because we are taught from childhood, we need to fight, we need to go through so much of difficulties to reach some position which is a very high level position. That's how we have been trained and taught. And because chanting is very easy, then one might say that, oh, maybe it is not the highest. But in the Upanishad itself, it is mentioned, this Maha Mantra is mentioned in Kali Santarana Upanishad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Swatashakam Nam Nam, Kalikalmana Nashanam, Nataparatoropayaha, Sharva Vede Shudrishyati. That, this 16 syllable mantra, which was mentioned in the previous verse, is the highest of all the mantras. Especially in the Kali Yuga, just by chanting this Maha Mantra, one can easily perfect their life. And don't waste your life by going and researching all other scriptures. Even if you are going to do a lot of research for millions and billions and trillions of lifetimes, you will not be able to find any mantra which is much more powerful than Maha Mantra. So even in Upanishad it is mentioned, the glories of chanting of the holy name. So we can see that there are so many different things we can talk about in terms of chanting of the holy name. The main, in the interest of time, the major point is for us to understand and appreciate what kind of great gift we received by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. And we need to be feeling grateful. And when we have that feeling of gratitude, that is for sure is going to drag us
to the success. So one day we will become pure devotees. There is no doubt about it. So I will end the discussion here. So yes, bro.
Thanks, Damaruchi Prabhuji. You mentioned that when preaching to different types of people, we have to be very thoughtful and discriminating in terms of not trying to disrupt their what they do, and you know, sort of almost facilitating them to make offenses to the devotees and to the holy name, and which I agree, you know. But you know, we see sometimes the examples of the acharyas. Srila Prabhupada himself, he was very sometimes confrontational, so to speak, you know, obviously. He will say very directly, you know, in terms of almost to establish the position, the supreme position of devotional service. He will say, you know, things. He will use words like rascals or nonsense and type of thing. And sometimes we see what Lord Nityananda says in terms of how he will approach telling people about to take, you know, to the holy name and devotional service. We will say, he will go door to door and say, "My dear Lord, my dear sir, you're so clever, you're so intelligent, you're so pious, and so on and so on. But actually, just give up all your nonsense. That's all nonsense. Give it up and just take to the chanting of the holy names." So obviously we cannot do that, but you know, but you have that precedent. So how do you explain that?
Thank you, Prabhu. There are like a couple of things. First one is that, you know, it's like always the main principle is to understand whether whatever we are trying to do is going to help the person which we are trying to help. If, let's say, the person we are trying to preach to is very like having like a lot of pride and that and this and whatnot, and if we are trying to, by preaching, what we are trying to do is we are trying to smash their pride. And typically, like, you know, when someone who is very proud is going to be confronted with someone who is trying to smash their pride, then how are they going to react? They are not going to say that I'm your servant. They are going to rebel. So by that action, they are going to like commit like offenses. So my point is to make sure that we understand the need of a particular person and try to devise a plan which is going to help the person. For someone, not talking about glories of like even if we see the 10 offenses, like one of the offenses that like, you know, explaining about the glories of chanting of the holy name to someone who is not faithful. Because the reason is they will be now committing offense. So it doesn't mean that we are not going to say that, yeah, like whatever you are doing is fine. We need to establish the truth. But at the same time, we shouldn't be like cut and dry. It is like, you know, like my way or the highway. We are not going to take that kind of approach. This is what the scripture is telling. And if they don't want to, like, you know, we need to explain that. But if they don't want to accept it, that is fine. We rather act in a different way instead of keep on, like, you know, eating them with 110 different scriptural references. Most of the times people will not be, people's heart will not be transformed by just information. They will be transformed by the purity of the person who is actually preaching. So rather, we work on our own purity and our own example. By looking at our example, they need to be attracted to devotional service. If they are not listening to anything, we don't need to do anything else. Just feed them prasadam, and one day their heart will change in such a way that they will take to Krishna consciousness. Now whatever message we are saying is going to go in. The point is not that we cannot talk. We need to understand whether that person is going to absorb whatever we are trying to preach to them. If they are not going to absorb, and if they are not going to act based on whatever we are preaching, our preaching has no value. It is going to purify us, but it might not be helpful for the other person if they are not in the right mindset. So in essence, we need to understand the nature of the person before we preach to them. And obviously, as acharyas clearly mentioned and scriptures clearly mentioned, we never compromise on the principle. Because someone is saying that karma yoga is the highest, we are not going to say that yes, karma yoga is the highest. We are going to establish whatever the scriptures are establishing, but at the same time, we don't need to keep on banging our head against the other person. That is going to move them away and away from Krishna. So we need to try to do something which is going to be helpful for them. Anyways, there are more things which can be said, and I know that you know most of those. So I will just stop here, bro. Thank you, bro.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
I'm very happy to be here.
No, thank you.
And hearing your lecture.
No, thank you, Prabhu.
It's inspired some reflection in me. You were speaking about how grateful we can be for Krishna and all of the acharyas. And somehow I connected to a lecture by Krishna Archana yesterday. She said that we're getting so much mercy from all the acharyas by taking to this process. And I was thinking that even though we are such rascals, we are chanting Hare Krishna, that we're getting so much mercy because of how grateful they are for what little reciprocation we're giving, for their great efforts to make us Krishna conscious. So, and then that in turn made me feel more grateful. And also I had, in terms of what we were just discussing about this element of preaching, that for me at least, and I think it's many of our experience, when we read Prabhupada's books, we realize what a rascal we are. So one way, if we want to preach to other people, is we can find some good quality in them. So they can be a pious atheist, but we can say, oh, you're very pious, you'd be interested in this book. And then Prabhupada will call them a rascal. And if they're believe in God, but not pious at all, we can say, oh, you believe in God, very nice, you might like this book. And Prabhupada will call them a rascal, so then they can be purified by, in the same way, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Actually, just to add to your point about how, our acharyas are, very, merciful, if we are offering is going on right now. If you think about who is cooking for Krishna in the spiritual world, we cannot comprehend who is actually cooking and then helping in cooking for Krishna in the spiritual world, but we are given that opportunity to cook for Krishna and to make sure that the pots and everything is clean so that the pujari who is cooking will be able to cook for Krishna. And who is offering the bhoga to Krishna in the spiritual world? All these are perfected beings. But we have the same kind of opportunity. And if let's say Mother Yasoda is making brown burfi, how it is going to taste. And we also have brown burfi. Anyways, I don't want the devotee who is making brown burfi to come and fight with me. So I try to be nice as much as possible. But the thing is, like, you know, we are also making brown burfi. Many of us really, like, you know, love brown burfi, it tastes nice and all those. But can we compare the taste of brown burfi which we are making here to the brown burfi which Mother Yashoda is making for Lord Krishna? But he is accepting. Why he is accepting? Because we are not offering directly to Krishna, but we are offering it to our spiritual master, and our spiritual master is offering it to his spiritual master. Like that, you know, eventually Lord Krishna, he receives. And though, like, you know, a small child might be doing something which doesn't make any sense, they might write A or something like that, and A will look like C, but the father or mother will be, like, you know, praising, wow, it is the most beautiful A which I saw in my entire life. Though, like, you know, whatever they did is not perfect, because of the love the father and mother they have towards the child, they accept it. So they are, like, pleased. So similarly, like, you know, though we are doing so many things which are not perfect, like, you know, like, we might say that, you know, like, oh, like, I am the best kirtaniya, like, you know, in this temple, I can sing in so many different melodies and all those. All the devotees, they keep on coming and telling me that, oh, Prabhu, Mataji, you are the best. Like, you know, like, you are like the Gandharva or something like that. Like that, you know, like, one might think, but if you think of, like, you know, what is our, like, voice or the kirtan and all those we are singing is in comparison to whoever is singing for the pleasure of Krishna in the spiritual world. So, like, you know, like, our voice would be more like croaking of a toad. Like, you know, like, we might think that, like, you know, like, I have such a beautiful voice or that or this. Like that, if you think about, like, all the things which we do, the main reason, not main reason, the only reason why Krishna is accepting all our services is that because our spiritual master, because the acharyas, they accept it. Because they see the love, they see the effort, they say, okay, like, you know, this gulab jamun which is made by this devotee, it doesn't taste like gulab jamun, but it's fine. Like, you know, he made it with so much of love. So I, like, you know, then there's petition, like, you know, my dear spiritual master, I know that this devotee doesn't know how to cook, but we know, like, you know, but he is trying his best, or our best, so they made this, so please accept it. So similarly, like, you know, the spiritual master is going to tell his own spiritual master, eventually Krishna, because he has the connection, he has the love for whoever is directly offering it to him, so he accepts it. Otherwise, how we can please Krishna? Like, we cannot please Krishna directly. Only way we can please Krishna is by pleasing the spiritual master. That's why it is, like, in, like, another reason to be, like, very grateful, because our spiritual master is very easily pleased. So many times, like, you know, we can see how easy it is to please the spiritual master and the devotees. It is very, very easy to please. Irrespective of whatever nonsense we do, they see the one good thing and they magnify it, and they are so pleased. And then what we try to do, someone who tries to do all the best things possible in the world to us, and they do one bad thing, then we magnify, and then we say that, oh, like, you know, you are so bad, you don't like me, like that. So, like, you know, like, if we are grateful, if we understand and appreciate, like, you know, like, how grateful our, like, you know, the acharyas are, how eager they want us to go closer to Krishna, then naturally our heart will melt. When that happens, we will be, like, you know, like, naturally be grateful. So that is, like, another point I just want to, like, add to your point. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You pretty much answered all my questions. I'm glad I came today. I wasn't. I'm very grateful for your class. Hopefully you'll get more often. So, but one point, I appreciate and reference to your point about preaching to the faithless. There was a verse I was going to quote in verification of your point today, but I wasn't, then I decided not to, but it's actually relevant. It's in chapter 17, verse 15 of the Gita. Prabhupada mentions about the verses about austerity of speech, and Prabhupada mentions in our purport that one should not preach to someone that's not his student if he'll agitate his mind. And the reason I appreciate this point in Prabhupada is because when Prabhupada first started the movement, he didn't start calling everyone rascal. He started with the Mahamantra, then he started serving the devotees. And the one thing I appreciated about it is that Brahmananda Prabhu was the one who first asked Prabhupada, isn't there some rules and regulations we're supposed to be following? And Prabhupada said, oh yes, now I could do it. Now I could preach to you. And there's one quote that says, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So you was mentioning that point that if they see your character, then they'll have faith in your words. But if you just start off going, you rascal, then. But my question is kind of related to your whole class. It's not really a question. It's a personal experience that everyone goes through. I'll just explain it. Everyone has insecurities and inadequacies. One of mine throughout my whole life is not being an eloquent speaker. Because I remember when me and my brother were teenagers, we did some interview together of some project, and then we watched the video afterwards. And so I thought I did pretty well. But I sounded like a complete, it was terrible. But my brother was very eloquent. And this kind of goes to the theme of your whole lecture. Basically, my brother was like Hanuman, and I was like the spider. You know, so he was very eloquent, and I felt like, that was my nightmare, to not be an eloquent speaker. And so usually devotees kind of, it's not like a criticism. Just recently, yesterday, somebody mentioned one of my inadequacies, and I didn't take offense to it because it's always been one of my inadequacies. They're like, why are you standing in a class? Your points are very, not consecutive. I didn't take offense to it because I already knew that. And your point kind of, it kind of goes to the question along the line of the spider, that even though we may be inadequate, just like the Brahmana, the illiterate Brahmana, even though he was very, not eloquent, Lord Chaitanya still accepted his devotion, his bhakti. And so my question really is that when devotees have, although Krishna may offer gratitude to everyone, people may not feel that gratitude from other devotees. And I feel like that's maybe detours people away from bhakti. But my real question is that even if devotees don't try to discourage you or maybe not offer gratitude, I think we kind of are hard on ourselves. We discourage ourselves mainly because I know two devotees who were asked to give a Bhagavatam class, but they had the same inadequacy that I had. They said, I'm not an eloquent speaker like Namaruchi Prabhu. They didn't say that, but like Namaruchi Prabhu or other the great speakers. And because I'm not a great speaker, I'm not gonna give the class. And we can see an example that just because a spider wasn't able to do as much as the Hanuman, Lord Ram didn't say give that up. Or just like Mridanga, there's so many devotees who play Mridanga. Some are better than others and some are worse. I remember throughout the years, some people said, Prabhu, you're terrible, don't play Mridanga, and I agree with them. But that doesn't mean I should give it up. So what should a person do when it's an opportunity to go outside your comfort zone? It seems like it's more of a, they may have an excuse that I don't want to be proud, but it's really fear. I'm not going to do this, take this opportunity to get outside my comfort zone because I'm afraid others will criticize me and not appreciate my ineloquent class. So how important is it to take those opportunities to go outside your comfort zone, to actually be humble and be in the spotlight? Being in the spotlight doesn't mean you're proud. It means if you're fearful, then that's being more humble to actually go in the spotlight and give it an opportunity. So how important is that for us to grow in our development and our Krishna consciousness? So.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. So, two things. First one is that always we do need to try to go out of our comfort zone. Because if we are going to be staying within our own comfort zone, we will not be able to grow. So it is very important to go out of the comfort zone, but that needs to be done under the guidance.
Like, you know, I can't say that my comfort zone is just like, you know, chanting 16 rounds. Once I hit the last bead, I'm going to put my, like, you know, bead inside the bead bag and, like, you know, like, hang it somewhere and then, like, you know, just, like, try to do whatever I have to do. If that is my comfort zone, and I'm, like, you know, like, after hearing this class, now I'm going to say that I have to come out of my comfort zone, so let me chant 64 rounds every day. Then I am going to act outside of my adhikar. Like, you know, I need to understand what is my own weaknesses and strengths. And accordingly, like, you know, we need to go out of the comfort zone a little bit, but not too much. Because if we are going to go out of the comfort zone too much, then we might have, like, you know, different experiences which are going to be counterproductive. At the same time, we need to come out of the comfort zone little bit and little bit like that. So typically it is done like under the guidance. So if someone is like, you know, like asking us to give the class and all those, so what is the like worst thing which can happen? We might not give a wonderful class. That is fine. Still it is wonderful. Why it is wonderful? Maybe not wonderful for, like, you know, like others, but no, it is going to be a wonderful experience for everyone. Let's say if I don't give a wonderful class, then now I feel humble. Okay, like, you know, I thought I know so many things, but looks like I don't know anything. Different devotees are asking questions and I'm, like, you know, blanking out. Maybe, like, you know, like I need to take this much more seriously. Let me, like, you know, read the scriptures much more thoroughly. So it is going to be a positive encouragement for others who are, like, you know, like all of you who are, like, listening to me blabbering for a long time. For you, still it is wonderful, because now you can see how even, like, you know, like someone who is incapable, they can give a class because they are asked to give a class. Because one thing we time and again, like, you know, we hear is that the instructions to follow a particular instruction, or the power to follow a particular instruction, is already invested in the instruction. If someone asks you to give you a class, and the power to give the class is already invested in that particular instruction, and if we understand and appreciate and realize that particular point, we will be able to tap into that power. But if we think that, oh, like, I am giving the class, I can give the class, like, you know, like, we can, like, forget, like, different things or different points and all those. So for the devotees who are in the class, it is an opportunity to appreciate that, you know, like, everyone can do that. How merciful Srila Prabhupada is, how merciful the devotees are, how merciful the Lord is. Like, you know, Kishore, they are listening to whatever we are, like, you know, discussing. How much austerity is they are going through. Like, you know, this one guy, Namaruchi Das, is speaking. He is thinking that he is saying something. It doesn't make any sense. But still they are giving an opportunity. So, like, you know, like, in essence, it is up to us on whether we want to see whatever is good in a particular opportunity. Even a bad experience is going to be bad only if we think it is bad. Even a bad experience is equally good if our mood is correct. So even if someone doesn't give a class correct, like, you know, nicely, still it is good for both parties. Unless we are going to come out of that, like, comfort zone, like, you know, like, we will not be able to grow. So that is first point. And the second point is, whatever is, like, you know, like, pleasing to the spiritual master, especially when we are practicing unsteady devotional service, the thing which is pleasing the spiritual master is not whether, like, you know, this is from one of Srimad Bhagavatam classes by His Holiness Rompa Swami Maharaj. He mentioned that the spiritual master is not pleased because someone is at the peak of their, like, devotional service, or in a valley or something like that. But the spiritual master is pleased if the disciple is going to be act based on the instructions of the spiritual master to whatever capacity they have. Whatever capacity they are trying to put their heart in and do that. For someone, it might be like washing pots, or someone it might be like worshipping the deities on the altar. And even if you see someone, there will be within one particular service, there are different grades. Someone would be let's say if I'm asked to wash the pot, I don't know whether I will be even able to lift some of the pots we have. Let's say I'm able to lift the pot. First thing which I might do is that, okay, let me try to finish this service as quickly as possible. Just rub it and then say that done. I'm going to spray the water and I am done with washing. But another person would be so meticulous. The devotees are going to use this pot for cooking for Krishna, for cooking for the devotees of Krishna. How nice it has to be. So let me keep on polishing, and they try to do such a wonderful job. So even within each of these services, there are different grades. The spiritual master is pleased by seeing whether we can act within a particular instruction, and to our best of our ability, we are trying to execute that particular instruction. We might have a lot of shortcomings. Everyone has shortcomings. It is not that everyone is going to be like you said, someone plays mridanga so nicely, someone else might not be playing that well. But all of us are, the Lord is not going to, it is not like an exam where Kishori is going to say that, oh, only the mridanga player who is playing so wonderfully, you are coming back to Godhead. The other mridanga player, it is so lousy, you are not coming. What they see is the love with which someone is playing. Rather, they will be more pleased by someone who is not playing very well. Because the person who is not playing very well, they know that I am not very good. So they are playing with humility. So when we are humble and when we have these kind of qualities, that is going to be much more pleasing to the Lord. Compared to I don't know how to play mridanga. Let's say I know how to play the mridanga expertly, and I might be feeling, wow, no one can play like me. In this entire temple, I am the best mridanga player. Then I might be playing so many nice tunes. Do you think Kishori is going to hear? No. Because all these things are nothing but tools. The main thing which they are expecting is the love. Love and that devotion, and everything else is just tools. It might be the tool might be giving class or washing pots or chanting in the kirtan or whatever it might be. The main thing which they are expecting is the love. And as long as we are making sure that we are trying to keep on increasing the love towards Lord Krishna and his devotees, then that is going to be very, very pleasing to them. Is that helpful, Prabhu? Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Okay. Thank you so much for tolerating me. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.